It's good to be back with you this morning. I want to say again how much Sister Ashley and I have enjoyed being here with you this weekend. Appreciated your hospitality and Brother Chris and Sister Lydia's hospitality and warmth and love to us. And every time we come here to Little Union, we are ready to come back. And every time we're down here, we're saying, boy, I wish there was some way we could figure out how to get our kids to be able to come visit with us, because we love you and enjoy being here with you. And I hope we've conducted ourselves in a way that you'd want us to come back and be with you again. My intention this morning is to be not too lengthy, obviously. And I want to try to be as simple as I possibly can this morning on a verse and some elements of basic doctrine. And I want to get the trough as low as I can possibly get it this morning. And I want to encourage those of you that are young, even those of you who are elementary or middle school age, if you don't have your Bible with you, scoot over close to mom and dad and look along, read along with them as we go to some passages of Scripture, because I promise you this morning that I'm going to try to be as simple as I can possibly be. And if you'll listen, I'm going to try to be as easy to understand as I can possibly be this morning and leave the majority of the time for Brother Danny to come and preach to us. So, if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 6. And I want to look at John chapter 6, and if the Lord would be with us for just a little while this morning, about 20 minutes or so, to look at that 37th verse and look at some of the pure basic doctrines that we believe, and that are the reason we believe them is because they are taught in the Scriptures. What Brother Adam believes isn't very important. What the Bible teaches is critically important. And what we want to do is make sure that what we believe matches up with what the Bible teaches. John chapter 6, verse 37. This is Jesus Christ here speaking, and he says this: "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. In him that cometh to me, I will in no wise," or that means for any reason, "I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." The first thing that Jesus Christ does here in this verse, and stay ready, Brother Danny. The first thing that Jesus Christ does here in this verse is he establishes for us a plain statement that is this: that God the Father gave people to Jesus Christ, his Son. He gave people to him, and he said, "You pay the debt that these people owe," in that covenant of grace. You see, before the foundation of the world, the book of Ephesians tells us this, and I don't want to rush as we go to these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, look at what he starts saying in the third first verse of the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now look at what he starts saying now in verse 4. "According as he," that's God the Father, "hath chosen us in him," God the Son. "According as he hath chosen us in him," when? "Before the foundation of the world." That means before God even created the world. You say, well, what was the point of God choosing us to be in Jesus Christ? Well, the point was this: that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Notice it wasn't just that we would be without blame. It wasn't just that we would be brought back to the place where Adam was before he sinned, but that it would be more than that. That we would be able to stand before God holy and without blame before Him in His love. Now, what does it mean when Jesus Christ says that God the Father has given Him people? It means this. It means that before the foundation of the world, God loved individuals, particular people, not some nameless, faceless mass of humanity, not some indeterminate number that would later on be, you know, give a little here, take a little there, and we'll figure out how to make it up in the end. No, friends. God gave to Jesus Christ specific individuals. It's a great number that the Bible says no man can number. No person in this room can tell you, you know, that it's 4,576,000,000,000 and try to give you some exact number. No man can number exactly what that number is. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows exactly every one of those people. And before you and every last child of God ever had an existence, before you ever had an existence, your name was written in the covenant of grace as someone who would be a beneficiary of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. And so God the Father said, I love these individuals. I love these people. And son, I'm going to give them to you, and you, in your work, are going to represent them. You're going to take all of their sins upon yourself, and you're going to pay the price for their sins. And your holiness, your righteousness, is going to be given to them so that they can stand before me righteous and pure and holy. And Jesus Christ agreed to that. And God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity said, and I will come into the lives of every single one of them, and I will cause them to be alive in Christ Jesus. I will cause them to be born again, or regenerated, as we call it sometimes. So how many then did Jesus Christ come to save? He says it here. Let's go back again to our text. All that the Father giveth me.
Amen.
Now, does Jesus Christ have the power to save all of them?
Amen.
Does He have the power? Go with me, if you would, over to John chapter 17.
Yes.
And let's look at what Jesus Christ says there. John chapter 17, I'm going to start reading the very first verse. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son... Now, He's speaking of Himself, isn't He? When He says Thy Son, He's speaking of Himself in the third person. He says, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Now, listen to verse 2. As Thou, God the Father, has given Him, God the Son, power over all flesh. Why? Why does the Son of God have this power? Now I want you to look at this equitable statement here. You say, Brother Adam, what do you mean by an equitable statement? Now, if you say that something equals something, that something is equal to something else, it means they're the same, right?
Right.
Now look at what Jesus Christ says. He says that God has given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to... And now He's about to give you an equal sign, but He's going to put it in language. As many as... He says, I have power, and what you've required of me, Father, is to give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. So the same number that Jesus Christ gives eternal life to, the same number that Jesus Christ died for on the cross, is the exact same number that God the Father gave to Him in the covenant of grace. And God the Father gave to him everyone that he loves. Now, will Jesus Christ be successful in that? Well, I want you to notice some prophetic words that come, if you would. Go with me, if you would, over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll give you a moment to turn there. Or to click there. Hebrews chapter 2. And I want you to notice the prophetic words about Jesus Christ. He says in chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13, speaking of the Son, and again, I will put my trust in Him. And now he speaks prophetically at what Jesus Christ is going to say on the very last day of time when He stands before His Father, when He makes that victorious entrance back into heaven with all of us following Him. Here's what He's going to say. Father, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now, Jesus Christ is not going to lie about that, friends. Sister Ashley, there's a few times when she has sent me off on a trip with all four of our children. Now, Brother Chris knows me pretty well, and he will tell you that I'm a forgetful dude. You know, I just have trouble remembering things, and my sweet wife often tells me that she has no idea how I would make it through life without her, and I agree with that. I just kind of blindly stumble my way through. But can you imagine if I were to drive down here with all four children and Sister Ashley were to be at home, and we were to head back and somehow Jacob got left, my second son. Can you imagine me looking in the car once we got to Arkansas and realizing, oh, 18 hours ago, I forgot to put Jake in the car. He's still over at Brother David's house playing basketball. He didn't even know we've left yet. Can you imagine me going in the house and saying, hello, darling, it is I and the children which you have given me. She would say, no, it is not the children that I have given you, and you may turn around and go get the one that you left in Florida. And 36 hours later, I'd be able to stand back in front of her saying, I am the children which you have given me. But if I left one at home, or if I left one on the trip, it wouldn't be I and the children, would it? But look at what Jesus Christ is going to say before God. He's going to say, Father, behold, I and the children, all of them, without a loss of one, I and the children which you gave to me. Amen. Now, let's go back again to our text. All, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, friends, there's a coming to Christ that we do in the church. And there's a coming to Christ that we do in experience. You know, remember, Jesus said to us in the book of Matthew, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So there's a lot of different coming to Christ that are found in the Scriptures. So which one is He talking about here? Because, you know, if it was of the experiential kind or the gospel kind or the church kind, we'd have to say, well, does that mean that everybody that God gave the Son are going to eventually come to Him in terms of joining His church or coming to Him in an understanding and belief of the gospel? If we said that, then we're going to run into some trouble because we're going to find a lot of God's children in the Bible alone that we recognize never came to Christ in a church way or a gospel sense. But God doesn't leave us to guess. What does He mean in this verse when He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me? Look at verse 45. He's going to explain it to you. In verse 45, He says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. And so He says, remember earlier in the 37th verse when I said they'll all come to God? Here's what I mean by that. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, what is He talking about there? When is it that we hear and learn of the Father? That's in the new birth. That's when the law of God is written in our hearts. As Jeremiah says, and it's quoted again over in the book of Hebrews, that they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest. But what's the least of them? Well, the least least of them would be an infant that's been born again. The greatest of them perhaps would be one that's full of years and maturity with a profound intellect and understanding even mentally of the Word of God. In what way can they both learn? Well, they can both learn in their soul when they're born again.
Right.
They can be taught who God is, that He's their Father, and that He is their God. And they're taught that in the new birth. So Jesus Christ says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They're going to come to Him in the new birth. I want you to notice, go with me if you would over to the book of Colossians. And let's look at an expression there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. It's starting to swarm on me, Brother Denny. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he says this. We'll start reading in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or acceptable, or appropriate, or fitting, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then he says this in verse 13. Who, the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered us from the power of darkness. That means when we were dead in trespasses and in sins, He set us free from that. He delivered us from the power of darkness. And then look at this verse. He hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Translated us. Now, when something is translated, friends, it's brought to something else. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that Enoch was translated. You know what that means? It means he was taken out of this earth and put in heaven. Friends, whenever a writing is translated out of one language into another, when something's translated from Greek perhaps into English, it is brought into English. There's no voluntary activity. Can you imagine a Greek book jumping up and down saying, "Ooh, pick me, pick me"? It doesn't work that way. The translator sovereignly takes it and moves it into the other language. But friend, whenever an individual is born again, they are brought to Christ in that sense. They are translated from the power of darkness. They are delivered from the power of darkness, and they are translated where? Into the kingdom of His dear Son. They are brought to Christ. Now, if you go back again over into the book of John, I'm heading down the home stretch here. Stay with me for five more minutes. When you go back again to the book of John, let's go back again to verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Look at verse 44. He explains this coming to Christ a little bit more. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, what does it mean to draw something in Bible language? Now, draw here doesn't mean like drawing a picture. Doesn't mean artistic endeavor. And it doesn't mean tug. See, sometimes in our modern language, we like to use the word draw to mean entice. You know, Sister Ashley draws me with that cute little smile of hers. And y'all just heard my brownie points balance go negative right there. Draws me. But that's not how the Bible used the word draw. In the Scriptures, and I'm fixing to prove this to you. I'm not going to throw it out there and then not prove it. In the Scriptures, when something is drawn, it always comes to whoever drew it. It means more than just tug on. But stick in the same book of the Bible and go over to the 21st chapter, the very last chapter of the book of John. John chapter 21. This is after Jesus Christ has risen again. Peter has said, well, I'm going fishing. And some of the other disciples has gone with them. And they're out in a boat trying to fish. And they can't catch anything. And Jesus Christ speaks to them from the shoreline. And He says, verse 5 of John 21, children, have ye any meat? In other words, have you caught any fish? And they answered Him, no. Now, I want you to notice verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, do you believe that they pulled on it? Certainly they pulled on it. Do you believe they tugged on it? Certainly they tugged on it. But what were they not able to do? They were able to tug on it, weren't they? They were able to pull on it. They were able to exert effort and exert force on it. But what could they not do? They couldn't draw it. Because when something is drawn, it is brought to whoever draws it. Now here's the other thing I want to help you understand, and then I'm going to close. When something is drawn, not only does it always come to whoever drew it, but it doesn't come because of an act of will on that which is drawn.
Right.
In the Bible, if you go over to where Abraham's servant, for example, was going out to find a wife for Isaac, it says he went to a place where the women would draw water. Now, if I were going to go out and draw water, and I were to take a nice long rope and go over to the well and tie a bucket on it, a bucket with no bottom on the end of it, and let it down in the well and pull it back up, should I be surprised that there was no water in the bucket if the bucket had no bottom to it? Can you imagine me standing at that well and saying, you know, I keep asking some water to just get in the bucket and to hang on to the sides of it and, you know, and to volunteer to come up? No, friends, that'd be silly, wouldn't it? But if I have a bucket that has a bottom to it, I can let it down in the water and I can draw water up. There's no help on the water's part. There's no volunteering on the water's part. The action is all mine. Well, he says now, and remember in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. What does that mean? That means God does all the work to bring us to Christ. In the new birth. No man can come unto me, he says, unless that activity happens. So what does that mean? That means then, friends, that the only way an individual is ever born again, the only way an individual ever comes to Jesus Christ is when God sovereignly draws them to Him. Now once again to our text, and we'll close. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Why will they come to Him? They will come to Him because God the Father will sovereignly draw them to Jesus Christ in the new birth. No man can come unto me, or all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And what's going to happen to every one of those people? Every one of those people, he says, they will not be cast out. And so, friends, in the last day, your Savior will stand before His Father and say, Father, here I am, and I have every one of those children that You gave me before the foundation of the world. They've all been drawn by Your Spirit. They've all been elected by Your love. And they've all been bought by My blood. Here they are. I haven't lost one. I love you and I appreciate your good attention this morning. Hope that's been of a benefit to you.
Amen.